sing that again. To be like Jesus. To be.
Grateful that we can come here this morning. There's no place in the world we'd rather be than here in your presence, knowing that you called us, you gathered us together. And you don't ever do this just for a social gathering. You don't do this just to see each other, but you do this because you have something to tell us. You have something that you want us to know. You have a further revelation for us to understand about you and your character and the reality of who you are. So Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come now and take the word that you've given us and let it have the effect that you desire in each heart. Meet each need this morning, Lord Jesus. Sometime we come, we think we need this and we need that, but Lord, you know what we actually need. So I ask that, Lord, each person would have the right attitude. Each person would be listening attentively, listening for the voice of God to speak to them. And when you speak, Lord, help us to quickly receive it. No matter how it makes us feel, Lord, but to believe what you say. I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. It's good to see everyone out who can make it. I'm going to read out of Philippians, the second chapter, for a few verses, and then we'll also read out of Romans 12. Philippians 2, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Boy, that'd be good, won't it? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means you don't just take care of yourself. If someone needs something, you help them out. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You may be seated. Let me just comment on this a little bit. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what they're saying is, he did not say, well, I'm God, I'm going to exalt myself, but he humbled himself. And so the mind of Christ is to always humble yourself for the good of others. Isn't that amazing? As always. The mind of Christ is to humble yourself for the good of others. You live for others. That's what eternal life is. When you have Christ in you, your desire is to live for others instead of yourself. Now we're going to read out of Romans 12. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read it to you if you don't want to, but I'll give you time if you want. Romans 12, we read this last Sunday, I believe. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Right away, a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That I am not doing this for myself. My life is for the benefit of others. That's what a sacrifice is. That's what Jesus did. He came, he died on the cross as a sacrifice, and he said, now let this mind be in you, that you had this same approach. Ain't that exciting? We know what God wants us to do. You don't have to wonder. Live for others. He said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just the reasonable thing. That's not going above and beyond. That's just what is expected. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we want to walk in God's perfect will, we need to be renewed in our mind and not be conformed to the world. Not be conformed to the world by renewing of our mind. And that's why we come to church. One of the main reasons we come to church, brother and sister, is to keep our mind renewed. Because when we're out there going about our business, Satan is hammering you and hammering you and hammering you all the time until you get to the place where sometimes it's like, oh, my head's just going to explode. What do? We come here and God comes and he says, now this is my will. Keep this in mind. And he gets us centered back on Christ. Last Sunday I was out to lunch with some of the brothers and sisters, and brother and sister Neil were talking about, brother Neil said, what you need to do is keep a tunnel vision. That was awesome, because what happens is you look down a tunnel and all you see at the end is Christ. And Satan is always on either side flashing this up and flashing this up and doing this to get your focus over here and get your focus over here. But if you just keep focus on Christ and keep going, that's what it is to have the mind of Christ. Because you say, well, this person needs me to do this and I don't feel like doing it. But you know what? The mind of Christ says, I'm going to do it anyways. What do you have to do? I'm not talking about going to start giving $20 to the people standing on the corner. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as you're led by the Holy Spirit to do something, you make sure you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't go on and try to become holy. Well, I live for people. I do this. Brother Branham said that makes you a hypocrite. He did. Now, this morning, might get a little scratchy. All right? If it scratches you, praise God. God has something for you to hear. If it don't scratch you, wonderful. You didn't need this. All right? I'm going to call this the character of a free man. Free woman, obviously. Mankind. The character of a free man. We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That means you come to the world as a slave. You are a slave to sin. You're born a slave to sin. You have no choice. All right? No matter, and this affects different people. Some people, they're born to sin and they just give in completely and they become evil, horrible people. Other people, you look at their lives and say, man, you're just a good person. So I'm not talking about just because you're good or bad, that's not really what I'm talking about. Everyone is still born to sin until you're set free. And the only thing that can set you free is the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? That's the only thing. And when you are born again, you are no longer a slave to sin. However, what's born again is your soul, not your mind. And because you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, you are still a slave in your mind after you're born again. Ain't that exciting? He said, well, if I'm born again, how can I do this? How can I do this? Because I was raised as a slave to sin. That's why it is so ridiculously important. The sooner you can get born again, the easier you're going to have it. Because if you're not older before you're born again, you have been raised, your mind has been conformed to the world all this time, and you still have a slave mentality, a slave to sin, and Satan knows how to push your buttons. And I don't care if you're born again when you're 10 years old and now you're 80 years old, you still are subject to Satan pushing your buttons. The world is being conformed into a certain image. The bride of Christ is being conformed into another image. And I don't care how religious you are, how much you know the message, how much you believe the prophet, until you're born again, you are still being conformed into the image the world has. Because all you can do is be conformed to that religion that you're following.
And it might look really good, but until it comes from the heart and up through there and takes control of your mind, you're still being a slave. You're being conformed to the world. And that makes us weird. We're different. We are literally different. We're going to speak more on this Thursday night, Lord willing. But we are literally different from the rest of the people. I'm talking about spiritually. Not naturally, we're the same. We're a different race. Spiritually, we are a different race. We are children of God, and those people aren't. This is the way it is. We are born again children of God. Other people aren't born again. So we have a different, we do things differently. And he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the way the world thinks. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is to take on the mind of Christ. And that's why we're here this morning, is to take another step in the mind of Christ so that we quit conducting ourselves as slaves. You are born free. You've been purchased with the price that you didn't pay yourself, but you've been freeborn to act like a free man. Act like it. Paul is going to get beat. Paul is going they're going to scourge him to find out what's wrong. What they did, they get somebody and they suspected him of doing something wrong, so they beat him until they admitted to what they did wrong. Aren't you glad we don't always do that anymore? So Paul, they were binding him, getting ready. He said, is it legal to beat a Roman citizen without a trial to convict him? And the guy is scared. Wait, you're a citizen? You're Roman? Yes, I'm Roman. He called the captain. He said, hey, come here. Be careful what you're doing. This guy's a Roman. This is against the law. He said, are you a Roman? He said, yes. He said, the captain said, well, I obtained this for a very high price. I paid a lot to get my freedom. Paul said, I was freeborn. I was born this way. I was always this way. Brother and sister, what we need to recognize is you are always a child of God. You come to the point where you recognize it, but the blood of Jesus Christ has made you always a child of God, and you need to start conducting your life like you're born free. And when Satan comes to take you under his thumb and say, react this way, react this way, react this way, he said, I'm free from that. I will not be a slave to you anymore. Oh my goodness, that's what God wants. That's why we're here this morning. So we can learn how to act like a king's kid. Walk like a king's kid. You're being transformed into some image, folks. By the foolishness of preaching. The world looks at us like we're weird. I'm talking about the message-believing world, not the people out there who don't even know the message to believe it. I'm talking about in the message. We are still weirdos. We're the oddballs. That's good. Because if we're like everybody else, then we'd be like everybody else. We're not wanting to be like everybody else. We want to be what God wants us to be, which is be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But character is a victory. The character of Christ. See what his character is how you think. Because how you think is how you're going to act. Now Satan will get thoughts in there. If you follow those thoughts, you're going to act like a slave. If you reject Satan's thoughts and take the mind of Christ, you're going to act like you're free. And that's your character, is how you conduct yourself. But when you are born again, God did not give you a gift of character. It's a victory, not a gift. And so that's what our battles are about, folks. That's what it's about. That's why we go through the hard things we go through. It's because God is changing us from thinking like a slave to thinking like a free person. And then you conduct yourself like a free person. It's pretty simple. How do you get this mind of a free person? How do you get this? You just simply believe God. That's all you do. When God speaks to you, you believe that. Sometimes God speaks and says, I don't want you to do that. You say, but I want to. And then we're in a trial. And then according to where you submit yourself to, depends on what happens. And God says, I don't want you to do that. And you go do it anyways. And God says, I told you not to do that. And you go do it anyways. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of the trial and say, what's going on? Why is it so hard? Because I told you to quit doing that. I'm training you. Is that the way you raise your kids? Don't do that. I want to do it anyway, Mama. Well, if you do it, you're getting a spanking. In love. We sat under preachers who weren't born again. We sat under, some of us were raised under parents who weren't born again. And some of us sat under parents who were born again. They still had their own tendencies, and they still made mistakes raising us. Make sense? I'm going to have to get on this a little bit. I talk a lot about how I was raised. And the reason why is because I see so much of it the wrong way. And I see so much of it taken over into the religious realm, and ministers are preaching and pastors are leading flocks this way. Some of my earliest memories, when I was a kid, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 or 5, I don't know how old it was. I was standing there, frozen in space, as Mama and Dad screamed at each other. And I was terrified to move. I wanted to get out, but if I started moving, they start screaming at me. And the rest of my siblings, we were all just like holding real still. You kind of like when Mom wasn't looking, you try to sneak out or Daddy, and when they went off, then you could like kind of move and all. It was terrifying. You know how that still affects me? I'm almost ready to die of old age, and that still affects me. Because it had such an impact. I was talking to a therapist about it one time. She said, you have PTSD. Because when someone will yell, when I see someone mad, I still get that same effect. It's that same feel. My supervisor is angry with me, I still get that same effect. It's slavery. It's what it is. Satan affected my mind as a little kid way back there, and he's still in the right situation. He can still push that button. And I'm like, whew. I start drawing back. I start withdrawing myself. I totally believe in disciplining kids. I worked with enough kids over the years that haven't been disciplined right that I totally believe it. But if you don't do it in love, you're wrong. Because this is the way I was raised. If you make me mad, I'm going to quit loving you. They never said that, but their actions proved it. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And then they hold it against you. And next week, Daddy, can I? No, you remember what you did? I was forgiven. Oh, don't get me wrong. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you don't hold them accountable. You absolutely do. But you love them. And they know you're doing it out of love, not out of control. And so many pastors, they run their churches, I control you. And you can stand up here all you want and tell them how much you love them, but when the motive you're doing things is control, that's not the spirit of Christ. Jesus Christ sets you free to serve him because you love him, not because you're afraid of him. That's slavery. What do kids do when they get under that? They're raised to think that's how God is. And life is too hard. And so they find an escape. Some of them just turn rebellious because this is not the way I'm going to live. And so they just rebel against it and run off. Others, they'll go through drugs. They'll go through sex. They'll go through fantasies. Some kids just live in fantasies their whole life. You just see them sitting there just staring off in space. They're living in fantasy because life itself, reality, is too hard. Slavery, folks. And then when it comes time to serve God, and so many of us have sat under false preachers and thinking this is still the way you do it, and God said, I never raised you this way. I did not intend this for you. I have set you free. I want you to be a free man. But you got to act like it. And so we go through trials, and the preaching comes and preaching and preaching. You ever wonder why we preach the same thing over and over and over and over? Because in your mind, it's been so ingrained in there, so much of the stuff from when we were little kids, and Satan has those gates where he can go right through that gate anytime he wants, and there's nothing to stop him. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're slaves. And God said,
You're my kids. I have birthed you so that you can be free. Your choice. You start making choices. See, that's the thing about a slave. They don't want choices. They've been taught. They don't have a choice. And so they fall into that same thing. It's like, let's take Israel came out of Egypt. They had been raised down in Egypt for 400 years, and for much of that time they had been slaves. And from little kids, they had been raised to be slaves. And when you're a slave, your main thing to do is please your taskmaster so you don't get beat. That's the way I was raised. My parents were wonderful parents, don't get me wrong. Wonderful. That's still the way I was raised, is do everything to keep Daddy happy. Daddy would come home from work, you got to check his attitude to see if he's in a good mood or not. Because if he's not in a good mood, you go hide out behind the barn or something and go play where so he don't start screaming at you. I hated to see Daddy come home from work. That's a horrible thing when you don't want to see your own daddy. At the time, I thought this was normal. I look back and I say, oh my goodness. And then when I wanted to serve God, I was the same way. Oh, I made a mistake today. Oh, my goodness, I don't think I should pray. I don't think I should go to church anymore because, oh, my goodness, what I just did, this is terrible. He don't love me anymore. It's slavery, folks. Israel, they came out of Egypt. Moses came along, right? So Israel, they had been raised. These kids had been raised up, and they're adults, and they've been taught, you please your taskmaster. Don't make him mad. So many times that's our approach to Satan. Make him mad. Don't make the devil mad at you. Beg, tell me why. What can he do to you? What can Satan do to you that God doesn't allow him to do? You know what God's wanting us to do sometime is stand up and say boo back to him. Isn't that what Brother Branham said? Don't sit there and let him kick you around. Oh, I don't want to make the devil mad. I do. If he ain't mad at me, I'm not doing a very good job. If he ain't mad at me, then I'm not a very good Christian. And he said, you're a good old guy, Phil. Oh, okay, the devil's not mad at me. Praise God. He can't do anything to me that God doesn't allow him because I put my life into God's hands and say, hey, I'm yours. He's trying to kill me. It's on your hands. Israel, they're raised. They come up and Moses come along, right? And, we got the deliverer, he's here. And what happens? The first thing, Moses starts doing something, and their job gets harder. And what does Israel do? Wah! That's some slave mentality. Something's going wrong, the first thing I do is start crying and whining about it. Why? Because a slave has surrendered their responsibility to their taskmaster. They say, take care of me. Take care of me. You need to take care of this. What does it do? Look at the people on welfare in our country. I'm not talking about the ones who need it. That's fine, but there's millions who should not be on the government handout. But they are. And if you've ever found any more entitled people, let me know who they are. They are the most entitled, complaining, whining people I have ever met. They are. Why? It's a slave mentality. It's like, take care of me. I'm not responsible for myself. I can't help this. It's not my fault. Take care of me. Give me $10 when you're driving by because I can't help myself because I'm homeless and it's not my fault. Someone help me. Someone pick me up. Someone do this. And because of our nature, you know, we want to help people. So people do that all the time and they feel good about themselves. You're enabling them to be a slave. If there's people out there who can't work, and there are, and there's reasons for no purpose, their fault or their own, I'm not talking about them. But the vast majority of people aren't that way. They're not. Because we got along with this country for 100 and something years without that. So Israel had the slave mentality. And then Moses came on, and God did an amazing thing, right? He did all these signs and wonders, and finally Pharaoh said, just get out. And they were free. They were all free. Just like being born again, you're free. Couple days out of Egypt, what happened? Here comes Pharaoh. And his whole army chasing after him, that old taskmaster who you got set free from, and here he comes. And what did they do?
Wah!
They started crying again.
Moses, you brought us out here to die? It'd been better if we'd have stayed in Egypt as a slave. You mean we're supposed to fight? What are we supposed to do, Moses? Oh my goodness, we're going to die. Oh my goodness. Wah. Totally forgot what God had just done to get them out of Egypt. Because all of a sudden here came that same old taskmaster and they just like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's what Satan does. He knows how to get you. He knows, especially when you're getting older, he knows how to push your buttons. He knows how to get that slave reaction out of you. He's good at it. And something comes along and all, it's like, well, my goodness, what about this? And oh, I don't like this. And oh, and we start complaining. It's a slave mentality. A free man doesn't start complaining. But this happens because it's in our minds, folks. Satan has our gates. The gates in our mind, he has them controlled. And God takes it through trials and preaching and all this stuff to get that so we can get all that out of there. But you got to want to get rid of it. You have to want to. Those people on the government handout, if they want to, they could get jobs because there is a lot of jobs to be had right now. 13 states right now have the lowest unemployment in history. Isn't that amazing? People still hating Trump. Unemployment among black people, Hispanics, is the lowest in history. They still hating Trump. That's like taking a hammer and just pounding on your own head. I hate this. Well, quit hurting yourself. It's slavery, folks. They got a mind where it's not my fault, you take care of me. God delivers them at the Red Sea. Totally destroys that old taskmaster. We're free. There's nothing like being free, folks. There's nothing like it. Because even what I'm saying about this, how I was raised, how it's still affecting me, and yet day by day I see God setting me free from this and free from that, and that's having less and less control over me. There's nothing like being free, folks. It's worth dying for. It's worth fighting for. Well, I'm trying to be free. No, that's not how you fight. You fight by believing what God tells you. In spite of all that test, all the taskmaster, you see Pharaoh coming, but God said this, and my focus is on Christ. And he can come running at me. You can stand there, just ignore him. Talk to the hand. But he knows how to push our buttons to get us emotionally escalated. And that's where we're slaves to, is our emotions. Most of the time, when he can get us emotionally escalated and then we start reacting to our emotions, we are slave to how we feel. And that is the way of the world, folks. That is complete. And they're going more and more that way. Anymore, it's not what do you believe, it's how you feel. How do you feel about you? I just don't like him. Well, why not? Well, he just gets me the wrong way. It's a feeling. You can't, you know, I don't care if you like Trump or not. I'm not saying that. But it's all about I feel this way. I feel this way. And so we go by our feelings. And that's the way the world is being conformed more and more to your feelings. And you do not go by your feelings when you're serving God. Jesus Christ did not feel like going to Calvary. Sometimes I don't feel like being nice to people. They irritate me. Sometimes I don't feel like being nice to myself. I irritate myself. But if all you do is go by feelings, you are a slave to your emotions. And then someone who, especially, I probably shouldn't be saying this. I don't know anything about it. But between husband and wife, right? It's really obvious sometimes when you see them kind of spatting back and forth and they're trying to push each other's buttons because you made me mad, so I'm going to make you mad. I know you two never do that. I'm talking about normal people. I just can't see Sister Susie pushing some of them. I can see Brother Paul, but I can't see Sister Susie. It's all about emotions, controlling emotions. And Satan will come and bring you a thought. And you know that's not God, but you think on it. Because it's comfortable. And the next thing you know, you start
going up. And you think on a little longer, and your emotions go a little higher, and think about it long, and all of a sudden, now you got to talk about it. Now you got to speak it. And once you speak it, and once Satan sees that, he says, I know how to get you. He says, I know how to control you, because you start saying what's on your mind. Sometimes the best thing to do is don't even say anything. Do not react at all to that thought. Satan says, well, I can't get him on that anymore. Let me try something else. And you're thinking, whew, glad he didn't notice. It's true. You don't have to react. You don't have to say everything that comes on your mind. This is what our trials are about. That's what preaching is about. That's why it gets scratchy sometimes, because he's pointing this stuff out and saying, would you stop being a slave to your own emotions? Stop being a slave to Satan's thoughts. You don't have to be. You've been set free. But if you don't, then God's going to turn up the heat. He said, you will conduct yourself like a free man. You will. Because you're my kids, and I know how to raise my kids. Isn't that good? You never went through a trial that was not planned. Sometimes you go through stuff you didn't have to because of the choices we make, but God's going to use that to your benefit too. But now if you fail that test, here it comes again. And sometimes you're saying, I passed that. Why am I doing it again? Just for reassurance. A couple days after they got past the Red Sea. Oh, by the way, at the Red Sea, destroyed Pharaoh and all his army, right? What did they do on the other side? They had a shouting jubilee. They danced. They had some church services like you never knew. Screaming, shouting, God is good. God is so good. Oh, we love God. He delivered us. A few days later, Moses, you bring us out here to die? We don't have nothing to drink or what eat or whatever was it. They're always complaining about something. God just set you free, destroyed Egypt. And now you're complaining again. Isn't that human beings? Isn't that me? What are you whining about again? But what about this? Did I not take care of everything so far? Has God took care of you all the way up to here? Is he promised to take care of your knees the rest of the way? He promised to do it. But it's not the way I like it. Slavery, folks. That's slavery. God gave him enough to drink, enough to eat, get to the mountain. Fulfilling the scripture, God, Moses told him, he said, God said to bring you out to this mountain. We're going to meet God here. They got to the mountain, Mount Sinai. And what happens? Oh, my goodness, we don't know about this. Don't talk to us. Speak to Moses, because, you know, this voice of God was too scary. God said, call Moses, come up on the mountain. Moses up on the mountain about 40 days or something. What did they do? What happened to Moses? We don't even know. He's probably dead up there. Where is he at now? Dixon. What was it? It was a test, and they failed miserably. Well, what about this, Brother Phil? What about that? How about this? What are we supposed to be doing? We need this, we need that. Was it last Sunday I spoke on that Shunammite woman? She had a legitimate grief. She had a legitimate complaint. Why did God do this? What's going on? But what did she do? She kept the attitude, all is well. It doesn't matter if it looks like everything's falling apart. It doesn't matter if the pastor's doing this. It doesn't matter if Phil's doing this. It doesn't matter if this is going on at church. All is still well. Will you be a slave or will you be free? You all heard this story many times. Brother Branham talked about that slave back in the South a long time ago. The buyers came to buy him. They saw them. And he said they didn't have to whip him. They didn't have to get him. He said he was walking around, his head up, his chest out. He said, what's wrong? How come he's different than everybody else? He's a slave like everyone. Is he their boss? No. Is he in charge? No. He's a slave like the rest of them. Then why does he act that way? Because he said back in the homeland, he knows his daddy's a king. He conducts himself like a king's kid. And even though we're here, we're a slave to this body. We're a slave to the things of this world, and as far as like naturally and all this. Yet you can still conduct yourself like a king's kid. You don't have to be whipped around every time to come to church. Come on now. Have a right attitude. Come on. Keep being encouraged. Come on. Walk in faith. Oh, come on. Start walking like a king's kid. Conduct yourself like you believe what he told you, that everything's going to be fine, that you're going in a rapture. And then put it in his hand and let him take care of it. One day, we're going to have to quit preaching and have a good attitude. That day ain't here yet. Maybe this will be the last time. You can be free if you choose to be free by simply believing what God has said. But it's not the way we want it, Moses. We're tired of all this meat. Whoa, we're just sick of this. Man, oh my goodness, is there something else we can eat? Sure, we're going to give you meat. Oh my goodness, if we only had the onions and leeks we had back in Egypt. Go back to Egypt. You've done it in your heart anyways. We don't know what's become of Moses. Maybe we should go back to Egypt. Let's get another person to lead us back to Egypt. Slavery. Slavery. I'm entitled to what I want, Brother Phil. Okay? I want this kind of a church. Okay? Go find it. There's every kind of church you want, folks. Every kind of pastor you want. What you doing? Brother Branham said, I seen a sight one time that broke my heart. It was an eagle that had been caged. He'd been caught somewhere in a trap. He was put in the cage. He didn't understand why he should be caged up. You know what that's talking about. You come to a place where you wanted to serve God. You were trying, but you just couldn't seem to do it. Why is this about? Why can't I serve God? Why can't I be a Christian the way I'm supposed to be? What is all this about? The eagle would get back and he'd set those big wings. He'd hit that cage. The pheasant would fly when he'd flop his big wings against the cage till it knocked him backward. Oh, boy, I could stay there for a while. That's me. That was some of you. You saw that freedom out there and you tried as hard as you could to bust out there and you'd come against that and just knock yourself back over and over again. He would fall on his back. He'd look upwards. His eyes looked around. There he was. He is in a cage. Mankind had caged him. A super race to him had caged him. He was a heavenly bird. He looked through those bars and longed to soar with those big, mighty wings. What could he do with them anymore? He looked into the heavens. It was a sad sight to see that eagle. He was made to be up there, and some super race to him had caged him in there. You know what I'm talking about. He said, but I've seen a sadder sight than that. It was the sons of God caged down a denomination under barriers and isms till they know that there's something in that would like to spring forth. They were made to be sons of God, but a super person, the devil, has tied them down in such places till they just roll their heads and wonder. There is a fountain somewhere. Oh, if I could reach to it. Saddest sight I ever seen. Men who was born to be sons of God, yet let the devil tie them down under their God-given privileges. He's here to set you free. But he ain't going to give it to you like a check. I should say it is a check. But he's not going to give it to you like, okay, instantly you have it. It's not a gift. It's not the government giving you some money. This is something you fight for. You keep fighting. You keep going. Remember he told the story about, I think, Johnny Crow, he called him. Some guy had a crow he had captured. He tied him to a string on his leg. And he would go a certain way, certain amount, then he'd just stop it. He learned over the years, I could go this far. I can come over here. I can come this far. And that's as far as I can go. One day he felt sorry for the crow, so he cut him loose. And the crow went this far. And he went this far. And he didn't go any further. Why? Because he had been trained to be a slave. You have been trained, this is as far as you go. Some of us in our religion, we have been trained, this is as far as you go. We've been trained to go up there, to fly, to rise above it. And when Satan comes with those emotions, you rise above it. When Satan comes with that slavery, you rise above it. Satan has trapped them and put them in a place and said, the days of miracles are past. There's no such thing as divine healing. Oh, them things was passed long years ago. That's a sad sight to see a man in that shape when God made him in his own image to be as free as a heavenly soaring child of the living God, spread forth his eagles and rejoice and flop in the breezes. I seen them when they set their big wings like this, not flop around. Just set their wings and ride the tide as it comes in. The wind comes, they just know how to set their wings and ride on up. They go so high till they were just like a little black dot in the heavens. He didn't strain. He didn't study. He didn't go from seminary to seminary, from church to church, from mission to mission. He just set his wings and moved with the currents. As it rode, he rode up with it and went right on out of sight. It's a free man. That slave, physically, he was a slave. His mind, he was not a slave. That's what we need to be, brother and sister. Even though we have these problems and we know Satan hits us and we make mistakes, yet we are not, with the mind of Christ, we are not a slave. And you can beat us, you can do whatever you want, Satan, but I am not a slave. No matter how he comes against you, no matter what, I take the mind of Christ, I die to this self which is conformed to the world, and you take the mind of Christ. You don't have to beat these people. You don't have to beg them to come to church. You don't have to do all these things. They're not a slave to their feelings. They're a slave to Christ. And that's by love. Your cords of love. And God has you. Serve me because you love me, not because you're afraid I'm going to beat you. That's what it means to be free. I got several minutes. Let me get into this. God told Abraham, thy seed shall possess the gates of its enemy. The seed of Abraham is the believers. We are the believers. We are the seed of Abraham, the royal seed. And the promise is to you, you will possess the gates of your enemy. He said, well, what are you talking about gates? We don't have cities with gates on it anymore. You have gates into your spirit realm. Imagination, memory, conscious affection, reasoning. These are the gates that Satan comes into your mind and takes control. And once he gets in there, he sets up strongholds. There's places in your mind where he is so strong that you can beat your head against that all you want, and there's no way you're going to move that because it probably started when you were 2 years old. And you're now 30 or 40 or 50 or 80 or however you're old, and there's still things in there, and you've been trying your whole life, and after a while it says, okay, I'll leave that alone, you leave me alone. No, you don't. That's slavery. You're free. The Bible says he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He promised you a sound mind. Isn't that exciting? He says, I want you to get rid of those strongholds because that's where you're weak. He said, that's where Satan comes in there and knocks you about and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden Satan says, well, okay, here I come again. He goes right in through that gate and into that stronghold. And there you are having the same problem you've always had. And you say, I thought I was free. What's going on? I don't feel like a Christian anymore. Because he's got your gate. He controls your gate. That emotion. Brother Branham says this, thy seed shall possess the gate of its enemy. That's God's sworn promise, the seed of Abraham. God's swearing he possessed the gate of his enemy. Then what position does that put the church of the living God in? Where are we this morning? If we have the promise that we are going to possess the gates of the enemy, and that's in your mind, then where are we this morning when he's possessing our gates? We are Abraham's seed, for we being dead in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed and are heir with him under the same sworn promise. We are Abraham's seed and heirs of every promise that was given him. Every promise that was given Abraham is yours. You do not have to allow Satan to have those gates and just control them willy-nilly any way he wants to. But you got to stand up and take responsibility. And what we do, and when we do that, is we're conformed to the world's religion and say, now try harder. And they use psychology, and they use all kinds of other stuff to try and control that. But what you can do is you can take God's word about it and say, God, you promised me I can control this gate. I possess this gate. Now it's in your hands. He said, we are Abraham's seed and are heirs of every promise that was given him. But when the testings come, that's where we fail. That's where we fail, in the test. Because Satan knows how to get us all tore up again. He knows how to get us discouraged again. He knows how to get us fussing again. He knows how to do this and this again, all this kind of stuff. And sometimes, brother and sister, you just need to separate yourself from those people who are influencing you like that. I don't believe that the true seed of Abraham will fail. They'll stand just as gallant as loyal as Abraham did. What is he saying? He said, you are going to come to a point when you conduct yourself with the character of a free man. You're not going to continue to follow that because you are Abraham's seed. It's been promised that you will possess the gate. And the church of the living God this morning lays the power to heal all sickness. And the church of the living God lays power to overcome all temptations. And the possession of the church of the living God lays the power to change sin and throw it away and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the church of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you desire, ask in my name, it shall be given you. A little while in the world, not seed, the unregenerated seed, will see me no more. They don't see him. Why? Because their mind has been conformed to the things of the world, but your mind is being transformed by the renewing of your mind so you recognize Christ more and more as he grows in you and in your brothers and sisters, and you see more revelation, and you see more evidence of Jesus Christ alive today. And it's setting us free if you choose to be free. The gate is open. You can walk out of that prison. That eagle who's in that cage, that gate's been opened. You can fly out of there if you want to. But if you like the crow, say, I don't know if I can or not. I'm just used to this. This is the kind of church I want. This is the way I want to be a Christian. This is how I want to be. Brother and sister, you're being conformed to the wrong thing. You'll see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. What? The royal seed. The works that I do shall you do also. I'll verify myself that I'm in you, for these signs shall follow them that believe. My. His seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. No matter what the gate is, if it's sickness, temptation, sin, whatever it is, it's conquered, and the seed of Abraham possess it. Then why, after all this time, why do we still struggle with these things? Why do we still have the devil come in there and get us to react this way and do that, do this and do these things? And we look and say, why? I'm talking to myself, folks, more than you. I mean, you might all have it conquered. I know I'm speaking to myself. Why do I still stumble at this? And why do I still fall this? And why do I? Because I'm still seeking comfort outside of Christ. I'm still seeking to control. I want to control what's going on. See, that was the thing with my parents. My dad, he had to be control. And so he'd hold stuff against it. He'd hold it over your head to make sure that he's controlling you. He'd use his anger and his emotion and his pouting to control us. Guess how I was raised to be? Controlling. And I like to be in control. You find out you don't control anything. You don't control anything. You have a simple, you have like this thing, well, I'm in control. I'll use my anger. I'll use this. I'll do it to keep him in control. And you find out you don't control yourself. You're just a slave to the devil. Well, I'm trying to control others. I can't control my own self. I can sure make you feel bad. I can try. It's amazing. He said, if you got an enemy this morning, my brother, if you are a seed of Abraham, after hearing this, there's not enough devils in hell can keep that gate before you. Your choice. It'll open. I don't care what it is. Well, what is it, bro? Well, what about this? Well, I've struggled with this my whole life. It'll open. It don't matter what it is. But you know what happens? Well, I prayed, Brother Phil, and it's a week later and nothing still happened. Slavery. Abraham's attitude was, God told me it, so I'm going to keep believing that until God brings it to pass. But that might be 20 years down the road, Brother Phil. And? What's your point? I want it now, you slave. I want it now. I want this now. I want this to happen now. I don't want to have to walk. I don't have to fight. I don't have to keep focused on Christ. I don't want to have to do this. I want someone just to spoon feed me this wonderful thing you're talking about. I want it now. I don't want to get a job. All these rich people with jobs, why should I have to work? They pay enough taxes to take care of me. Why should I have to pray? There's enough people praying in church. Why should I have to listen to the tapes or read the Bible? Brother Phil and Brother Jerry do. Why do I need a relationship with Christ? As long as the pastor does, I'm good. See if that gets you into heaven. It's slavery, folks. It's the mentality of a slave. You know, when we come to this country, people a long time ago, they came to the country. They're leaving Europe and all its way that the governments, the monarchies and all this, it was so what's the word I'm looking for, Brother Paul? Constricted. And you came here and, you had to work within the confines of the government and the way everything was. You come here and you say, you better take care of yourself or you're going to die. You take your family, or you might be with people, you go start a settlement, you got to build your own house, you got to you clear your own ground, you plant your own food, you hunt your own animals, you have better prepare food, because if you don't take care of yourself and learn how to survive, you're going to die. And after a few years, this country, which wasn't a country at the time, it was colonies, even before it was colonies, it started thriving. There are so many natural resources here, and in England, they kind of control most of it. And they said, wow, this is a great colony. And they started becoming filthy rich off of us. And then we started saying, yeah, but wait a minute. We don't want all these confinement from the government. So we want to be free. Because why? Because we were raised to be free. Oh, my. And what happened with England when it kind of put some fetters on us? And said, no, we control you. We said, no, you don't control us. We're born free. We fought a war, said, you are not going to control us. We are free men. We're still living off the benefits of what they did a couple hundred years ago. Why? Because their attitude was, I will take care of myself. I don't want you taking care of me. I got this. And what has our country done now? Over half the country is now getting on the government dole, government assistance. Over half the country, they want to go back to slavery. Why? Because taking responsibility is hard. You're responsible for it. Well, it's not my fault, Brother Phil. Yes, it is too. But this happened to me, Brother Phil. It's not your fault that you're going to. It is now. But the way you were raised, I've been set free. But you were raised that way. I've been set free. It's my responsibility to walk in faith until that freedom takes complete control. But I got to fight for it. Yes. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. Yes, it is. It's a battle. You can get killed fighting for freedom. You know how many thousands of people died so we can be here this morning? Thousands. Men, women, and kids. You know who died for you that you can be free this morning? Jesus Christ. He died so that you do not have to be a slave to your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions. He said, I'm looking for the character of a free man, because that character of my bride, who I can take in a rapture, because I'm going to give her dominion. She's going to reign with me. I can't have slaves reigning with me. I have to have free people reigning with me. You say, well, how do I get there? Just believe what he's saying. Just this morning, you're free. And walk in that. And when Satan comes and brings something against you, say, I'm free from that. And don't go out and try to do it yourself. When I say it's your responsibility, I'm not saying you're going to try and do it yourself, because that's just a worldly religious attempt at it called legalism. We've spoke on that enough around here. You're free. Claim it. He said, stand up with your shoulders back, your shield is shining, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The enemy will recognize it. Stand there like a free man. Stand there with your shoulder. Like, don't, you know, like a whip dog. You know, the whip dogs have been whipped too much, and they're just like, you know, they want to be petted, but they're afraid. That ain't the way Christ is raising us. That's the way a lot of us have been, but you don't have to be. You can be free. He said, we who are dead in Christ, our Abraham's seed, we are more than conquerors through him. We are more than conquerors through him who conquered everything for us. No reason for us to have to overcome anything. It's already conquered. Ain't that amazing? It's not for us to go out and conquer anything. It's already been conquered. It's already done. All he wants you to do is, will you believe what I'm telling you? That's all. Will you believe it? I got this. Tell you what. Last several months, Brother Jim's testifying what God done for him. Set him free from so many things, physically and mental and spiritual, all that, just like that. So I want God to do that to me too. Well, he went through about 6 months of, 3 months of horrible stuff to get there. It didn't just happen like that. When it actually happened, it was like, but he went through all this stuff to get to the point where God was ready to do it. You got to go through the trials and the testing, folks, because that's what molds your character. And when Brother Jim's character was molded to the point where God could do it, then God came on the scene and did it. That's how he does it. But when God wants you to go through a test, do you just bail out and just take it into your own hands? This person's going to say something bad against you, Brother Gene. They're going to ridicule and humiliate you and make you feel bad. What are you going to do? Well, he ain't going to talk to me like that. Well, you're going to go through it again then. No one's going to talk to me like that. Well, okay. They're going to keep doing it until you get it right. And sometimes it peels away like onions, like layers, you know. You go through something, it peels it, oh, man. And then it comes again, it's a little deeper, and you peel away. And then it comes again, you peel a little. I said, how deep does this go? How long has it been there? Like I said before, if you're an older person and you're still peeling down, that thing that could be there for years and years. You don't just go down and yank the whole thing out sometimes. Sometimes you got to peel away and peel away and peel away until you say, my goodness, there's nothing left. Exactly. That's the point. Get rid of yourself. There's nothing left. Just Christ. You'll come here with someone. We won't be able to keep people out of from testifying. Brother Jim, you have to sit down because it's my turn to testify. David, just hang on. It's my turn. This is what God done for me. Isn't he good? Let's stand. I can tell you this, brother and sister, and you know this too. I'm not just up here speaking some doctrine or something. I'm speaking experience. I know what I'm talking about because this is what God is doing in my life. And there's so many things I have to go, but I can see I've come this far and I'm going to keep going the rest of the way because he promised I could. And all he wants me to do is keep walking that direction. And he's setting me more free and more free. My, it's good. My supervisor, before, you know, in the past, if my supervisor would ever angry with me or something, boy, I'd be tore up. Because it would go back to the same thing. My dad is mad at me. And I'd know there's people, oh my goodness, they don't like me anymore. Maybe I'm going to get fired and all this. And brother says, that still comes to an extent, but not near what it was. Last time she got mad at me, she chewed me out. I said, well, listen, if you need to write me up, go ahead. And I was okay. It was free. It was like, okay. A couple days later, Satan just wheeling and wheeling, and it started starting to feel that thing again. He said, no. When she was chewing me out, I was fine. Why should I get tore up about it now? Satan's good. Christ is better. Amen. You happy this morning? Hope that wasn't too scratchy. If it was, just say amen anyways. God bless you.